Welcome to the Stories to Love podcast, the podcast where I fangirl over creators and find out all about their inspiration in hopes to boost our own inspiration. I am your host, Tiff Marcello, an inspiration seeker and your resident fangirl. Hi everyone, this is Tiff Marcello, and this is episode 9 of the Stories to Love podcast. It is October 11, 2020. Happy Sunday night, friends. I know, Sunday nights, we're supposed to be resting, right? What's interesting is that Sundays have forever been a workday for me and for the rest of the Marcello household. As a young lieutenant nurse, I worked most Sundays. And as a civilian nurse, I chose Sundays because those weekend and night differentials were money. So I've actually always associated Sundays with work, and today is no different. And I had a little bit of time where I could kind of escape into my bedroom to go ahead and record this intro. So here I am. So I wanted to put up this podcast tonight because I get to introduce you to indie Filipino-American romance author Maida Malby. We talk about the dearth of Filipino-Americans in romance as authors, which is what encouraged her to write. Her big pivot change in her career, and the sense of accomplishment having her book in her hand, which brings me to what I was inspired by these last few days since my last podcast, and that is story. The fact that there is story. You know, I was revising this week, and it just dawned on me how much story has taken so much of my life. And have we really wrapped our minds around the fact that story has been around since the beginning of time? I believe that it's what lives in our brain in between the necessities of life. So like, aside from the things we need to do for ourselves, like feed and clothe ourselves, we have this imagination. And for many of us, it comes out in story. Of course, for some it's song, for some it's dance, fiber arts or painting or quilting. But for me, it's always been story. And story has always taught me lessons. Story has entertained me. Story has given me hope. And it's almost always underestimated. So that is what inspired me. And it's probably because I'm totally into my story right now. As of today, for Love on the Run, I crossed 62,000 words in my revision, and I brought the total of my manuscript up to 82,000 words. My goal is 85,000, so it really does look like I'm going to make it. So this is such great news. My goal is to get through the rest of this revision by Wednesday, and I'm going to heave a breath of relief when I finish it. I am looking to Wednesday as that beacon of light, you guys. That is the goal at this moment. I'm in the stage that I am ready to give this manuscript for somebody else to read, which is an interesting change because 4 days ago I was still scared, but now I am really ready. I feel it in my bones, and that's when I know it needs to go. I am also, like today and yesterday, I am in what you call like the brain fog of revisions. I don't even know how else to describe it. It's like when everything is packed into my head, plot, characters, emotions, arcs. I'm kind of living in my books right now. It's not like when I'm drafting where I can start and stop or take it chunks at a time. I am at this stage where the story in my head is in me all of the time. I can only imagine that I am a strange person to live with at this point. I am in what I call the zone. I bet if you ask my husband and my children what your mom's like at this time, they'll probably tell you how disconnected I might be acting. That they're probably talking to me and I might give them an odd look because I have no idea what they just said. And that I don't even know what time it is. I think I went the entire day today not really knowing how much I ate. But honestly, it is the absolute best feeling. It means that I'm connected to this story. It means that I'm invested in these characters and that they matter to me. Most of all, it's that I know that this thing I'm doing is the right thing. It is really a reminder, because things are not perfect. The world isn't perfect. The publishing industry isn't perfect. Oftentimes we're making sacrifices to do things, giving up things. Just there's so many nuances in everybody's families where a creator has to kind of make the space to create their stuff, right? So this feeling of being in the zone is actually reassurance for me that what I'm doing is the right thing and that story belongs in my life. So that is pushing me forward to Wednesday. My hope is that after or at the next podcast, episode 10, that I'll be able to tell you that I've already given my manuscript to my beta readers. But anywho, that's where I am. Slightly cheesy, I know, but that is me in many ways. You'll get to know me through this podcast, and much of what drives me is these innate feelings and these probably, you know, not very like huge concrete things, but emotions that is what drives me. But in any case, I hope that wherever you are, that you are finding inspiration in your work. I appreciate all who have subscribed. If you haven't, please do. And leave a rating when you can. If you'd like to support this podcast, please grab one of my books for you and a friend on my website at tiffmarcella.com. And here we go to our In Conversation with Maida Malby. Hi, everyone. This is Tiff, and this is a Stories to Love podcast. And with me today is Maida Malby. Maida Malby cooks up multicultural, foodie, international, contemporary romance stories filled with sizzling heat, mouthwatering spice, and a whole lot of love. She is a member of select writing groups and romance book clubs. Her to-be-read mountain and book reviews are featured on Carpe Diem Chronicles. When not writing, reading, or reviewing books, Maida consults her husband on word selection, debates with her 10-year-old son regarding the Oxford comma, cooks the dishes she features in her stories, procrastinates using Bailey's as her secret yummy ingredient, and watches golf and food shows on TV. Welcome, Maida.
Hi, Tiff.
I love your bio. Good morning.
I should update that. I forgot. I should have said 11 years old.
Oh,
you could tell how old the bio is.
Your son's going to be upset if he listens to this.
Mom, I'm older than that.
They are very exact. I have a 10-year-old, and if I don't say she's 10 and a half, she gets so mad.
He wants to be 12 so bad because, you know, that's the time that he could sit in front on the front seat of the car, and then he can be left alone at the house because it's like, you can go. It's like, I want to be 12. And that's, he's counting the days.
Oh, that is so funny, because I feel like my daughter says the same thing. Like, when do I get to sit in this front seat? And I want to tell her, we're not going anywhere. It's coronavirus. Oh my gosh. So Maida and I met, well, we met online probably about, it's 2021, so like 4 years ago.
Yeah, and 2017.
Yeah, so we...
When you launched North to You.
Right, and you emailed me and said, hi, I'm Filipino-American. And I'm like, thank God, hello.
I know, so happy to see your book pop up. And there's a Filipino hero. There's a, you know, it's like a Filipino main character. Not the best friend. Yeah. Not the side character.
You know? It's such joy.
Hero. I know. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, finally. Somebody, yeah. Because that was what I was trying to do. at the time I had the book written already and I was about to publish it, and then yours popped up and I was just so ecstatic, you know.
I think that the sentiment was truly re appreciated, and I totally felt the same way. And it just also was like, it was such a wonderful reminder that there were people out there, because I think sometimes, especially in that whole journey for me in trad publishing, it felt so like I was alone in a tunnel. And even up to when I was, when I got an agent and then to sell the book deal, I felt like I was alone for a long time. I think it's because you're so focused, right, on
Yes,
getting this book out.
yes,
And then see, and then hearing from you, I was like, oh my gosh, instant friend. It
Exactly.
was great. So Maida and I also saw each other last year at the Rip
Oh.
Bodice. That was the first time we met, and literally like the first night we became roommates with Sarah Smith. Talk about putting three ladies in a hotel room.
We barely slept. Oh, but then when
Couldn't sleep. I ate like the sushi that was churning in my belly, and I think it was also anxiety. I have to say that looking back, I was probably just really nervous as well because we were going to the Rip Bodice the next day.
Oh yeah, that was like the iconic, the well at the time it was the first fully romance bookstore. You know, it's our place and it's like it's never been in the US, so it's really something special. And that was my first, well, it wasn't my first signing, but it was the first time. And I was really excited. I wouldn't say I was anxious, but I was really happy. And I was so proud of us and so thankful for them for giving us that opportunity. 'Cause you know, it just came together and it was thanks to you and your agent
Yeah, my
your
publicist,
publicist.
yeah, put it together. So this is the bookstore that we're talking about is the Rip Bodice, and it is in Culver City, California. It is the first romance-only bookstore in the United States, and they really gave us such a wonderful time. It was an afternoon filled with food and filled with our friends and readers that came to support Filipino American authors during Filipino American History Month. So it was also a wonderful time because I was able to meet my comadres. So we have, Maida, and we have Sarah Smith, and we have Mia Hopkins, and that was so special to me. That I think was one of the best things I ever did all year long,
I know, that was a highlight of my career as well.
So tell me how you got to be an author. So you weren't, you're internationally traveled,
Yeah.
you're internationally exposed, and now you are an author of two books and a novella.
Yeah, it's a novella and short a short story, and the novella is coming soon, October 15th, which is part of an anthology. So I'm going to publish that separately when I get my rights back. So five titles so far. How it was in a book club, in a romance book club that I was in. So they were talking about what do you like to read that's not out there. And I said, you know, I want to see myself in romance. And at the time, I didn't know about Mia writing Filipino heroines in her books, the cowboys. A couple of her cowboy series books were had Filipino heroines. I didn't know about her then. But I was like, you know, I read a lot. The previous year, I read like 460.
Holy cannoli.
Imagine in the 460, guess how many Filipino heroines there are,
How many?
or here main characters? None, right? So there was such a dearth and absence of people like me in romance that I was encouraged, why don't you write yourself? And I was like, why don't I write it myself? That's a good question. And that was this discussions were happening in September, and they told me about the National Novel Writing Month. This was in 2016, and I was like, you know what, I'll do it. So I had a few one chapters. I don't know if that's the same with a lot of people, but on a downtime, I would jot down this first chapters, you know, just the meet cute or whatever, but it never finished. I remember I had like 3 to 5 of those. I wrote this sometime in 2000 when I was working in, I think if not Indonesia, it was Singapore. Anyway, I had this first chapter, they were on the beach. And so I developed that idea into what became Boracay Vows. So I wrote it during the NaNo so that I have discipline that this is really what I was going to do. And it was crazy because November, it's my birthday month. It's Thanksgiving. So it was crazy. It was a crazy month, but I did it. I won NaNo that year with Boracay Vows.
So NaNo is the National Novel Writing Month. So that happens in November.
Yes.
And to win, you have to have 50,000
words.
That is like no small feat because you're right. Maida, like November is Thanksgiving. So if you have kids too, that November is really busy because they usually have like performances or tests. Then if you have kids in sports, they're doing like their championship games. And for anybody that celebrates December holidays, November is like the crunch time to get stuff done. So, okay. So you did NaNo, and with that NaNo, you won.
I won, but it was crazy because of November 26th, I only had 38,000 words.
No.
It was like, wait,
so let's do the addition or subtraction. So 50 minus what?
I need 12,000 words to win.
Days.
And I was so competitive, you know, I was like, I wasn't going to win any prize. There's no prize for winning. You know, it's just that the principle of it and the title and the certificate, the bragging rights. You know, I settled to do it since the beginning of the month. And by God, I'm going to achieve this. You know, it was cool, so crazy. So I needed 12,000 words in 4 days. Those 4 days, I barely slept. I barely ate. I was typing 4,000 words a day. And this is like almost at the end of the story. This is, you know, the climax and everything was happening. Everything was go, 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 you know, heightened emotions, drama and everything. So I was pouring it all. I was writing by hand, you know, like 3,000 to 4,000 words a day so that I could finish by November 30. And good thing my son was able to cook mac and cheese by himself already. So I ignored my family. I didn't do the laundry. No laundry, no cooking. It's just prepare for yourselves. I'm writing. I am going to win this.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like almost to the number, didn't you know? Like, 50,100.
That is so funny. But I mean, it's for real. I mean, that became the book, right? That became Boracay Vows.
Yes.
So
I mean, after 1,000 revisions and you know, editing and changing names, changing titles, but yeah, that became that was the first draft of what became Boracay Vows.
Well, this really shows a lot about your personality, obviously. So before you became an author, you said that you were in Indonesia. So you were traveling with your family, right? With were you on your own?
I was on my own. I didn't meet my husband until 2004. So I was working abroad. I started working abroad in 2000. So I grew up in the Philippines, right? I was born and grew up in the Philippines. I was working there. And then, you know, new millennium, you have to make this big changes in your life. The Y2K. I don't know if anyone can still remember that, or your audience might be too young. But you know, there was the thoughts of doom, predictions of doom, and during the Y2K. So like, big change, huge changes in my life. So I wanted to do that. So in 2000, I moved to Jakarta, accepted a job. I was in media communications, mm-hmm. advertising work. I was doing that. So I moved to Indonesia. I had a 1 year stint there. It was very eventful. I didn't nearly die, but there was like a bombing. There was a bomb that went off the Philippine ambassador's car as I was passing by. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it was an eventful year that when I was living there. So anyway, I was late 20s, so I had a mind for my career, you know, and that's advancement, working abroad, working in Singapore, working in regional offices. So yes, I was living the life. And then I met my husband when I was working in Singapore.
Yeah. And of course, like, it's a whirlwind after that, right? Because now you have a 11-year-old son. So how do you know that authorship is the way to go? I mean, you had an entire other life, and that's not what you're doing now. So in the process, like, as you're doing all this, because publishing is always ups and downs, you are an indie author. I want to make sure that everybody knows that.
Yes.
Maida Maldi is an indie author, which requires so much knowledge, in my opinion. I give it up for indie authors because you have to be completely self-propelled. And as you can tell with Maida's nano story, she is a self-propelled individual. And how do you know, like, as you're going through this whole thing, that you are doing exactly what you should be doing?
It's very rewarding, you know, when you finish the story and you read back on it. I mean, it's frustrating and rewarding at the same time. But this is especially when you hold the book in your hands. The first time when I got my paper copy of my book printed, and I cried, you know. It's the sense of accomplishment that my words are out there. This is something I created. And so that the fulfillment, the accomplishment, that's really what made me decide that this is my path from now on. And I am blessed that we have the resources, I have the support of my family, especially my husband, to be able to do this full time. Because if not for that, if it's necessary for me to have a job outside of writing, then it's going to be difficult. I would probably still be writing, but it's going to be hard to be an indie writer and have a full-time job as well. And I was able to do many things when, you know, studying and working at the same time, because we have help and we were abroad. But here in the U.S., that's kind of difficult, being away from other members of the family. So it's just the nuclear family, which is me, my husband, and my son. Yeah, it's a different story of being able to do many things at once. So being a writer is what I've decided I'm going to be. I would have chosen, especially after having that experience of publishing my own book. And it's a decision I made, because I gave it a year. You know, I pitched my story, my series, my first series to publishers, just to get it out there and just to have that experience of being rejected.
So I also know that you review books.
Yeah, I started because I started as a reader. That's why I always think, because I'm a reader first, before I'm an author.
Yeah, it's important to be a reader. Like, I love to read and I try to make sure I take time for it. Like, and have it be part of my work schedule where I'm reading somebody else's book. But it seems to me that you're a pretty fast reader. So
Not anymore. I was before.
Yeah.
I could read like 1.5 book a day. Well, before I started writing. Yeah. Like, you know, 400, 500 books a year wasn't really a big deal for me because that's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
2014, 2015, even early 2016 before I decided to write. I don't know what I was doing. So, and now I can only read 120. That was my goal. I already achieved.
That's it. Just 120
books.
So how do you balance your day then? Like, does it confuse you to read a lot of books and then write your own books? Or on the days that you write, do you not read those days? Or are you combining both per day, you think?
No, I always read. There's no day that I cannot sleep until I've read even just like a chapter or something like that. I consume a lot of audiobooks these days, and that's how I pad my numbers.
I do too.
Right? Because it's so easy. So I have it playing. I have her playing it while I prepare my meals, while I cook, you know, while I drive. So it's very convenient. I can listen to audiobooks. And what I write is different. Because, so I read historical romance, I read contemporary romance, but they're different from what I write. Because, well, currently I write the books that are set elsewhere. So at least for my first series, they're set away from the U.S. So the books I read aren't those things that I write. Mm-hmm. So
that's interesting. I actually find myself doing the same thing too. So if I'm really into writing my book, the things that I'm reading are completely the opposite. Like, so I'm reading or listening to thriller right now because I am revising my romance. And the thing is that like revision and drafting is different, right? So drafting, you just let it go because you understand it's your first draft. So I can read a lot of romance at that time. But if I'm revising where I'm like trying to pick it apart, I have to read something completely different. Yeah. And usually it's like a killing book or like. So I just finished Jennifer Hillier's Little Secrets.
Oh, wow.
It's so good. And it's the bad stuff happens in there. And then, goodness, I'm reading the most recent Mary Kubica book. And then I also just got Alyssa Cole's.
Oh yeah, her mystery book.
When no one is watching.
I'm listening to urban fantasy, paranormal. Nalini Singh. Oh my gosh, she's my go-to.
Nalini Singh.
I love her. So good. Guild Hunter. I finished Side Changeling middle of this year. So I binged on that series. And there were like, I don't know, 20 something books, whatever. And I really loved Caleb Krycek. And this one, The Guild Hunter, it's so, I won't say graphic, but there's so much violence and gore and horror. And,
yeah.
You know, we're talking vampires and wars. And I don't know why we're drawn to these things when there's so much going on right now. But yeah, we get lost in, I don't know what it is about us that we're drawn
to. It's so much safer to read it in the pages, I think.
Yes, well, that's true.
And I enjoy it so much. And I keep thinking that one day, like, there will be so many Phil Am books, like, there will be so much that we'll be able to just talk about different things. Although YA, I picked up Janella Angela's most recent book. I pre-order whenever I can, you know, like whenever the title goes up. Okay. So I want to talk about your injury.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So Maida had a writing injury, and I wanted to make sure I brought it up in this episode because it really is something that creators have to face, which is bumps in the road. And Maida, who is, you know, super active in general, just and lots of energy. What happened with your wrist?
No, I have writer's cramp. Okay. It's actually in my fingers. So my right thumb and the muscles in between my fingers on my left hand, they're really knotted. So it hurts when I type. Mm-hmm. So it's focal hand dystonia, okay, is the official diagnosis, and it's probably, you know, it's not the proper way. I'm probably typing. It's the way that my laptop is set up, that it's too low, or, you know, I'm doing it wrong, or I'm doing it forcefully. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it properly. Or when I'm doing sprints, you know, I'm just like this, typing and typing and typing. And because sometimes when the inspiration comes, you know, you have to take advantage of those times when the words just flow. And sometimes you forget that to take breaks, and because, you know, I have to get this down, otherwise it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not taking care of my hands properly, so probably I'm not resting enough, and so there are lots of lessons to be learned, which, yeah, I have to, you know, do it the hard way.
Yeah,
I have to be diagnosed that I couldn't physically do what my job is. Like, I have a writer's cramp and I cannot write. I mean, I can do everything else. I can cook, but I'm not like baking. I'm not doing everything by hand, whisking or anything like that. So I'm not doing any hard chopping. So to take care of my hand, because I need to write, because that's what I do.
So has this been chronic, or is this an urgent, emergent type thing? Is it a one time, or has it been chronic for you?
It started, I was diagnosed with arthritis early as, well, 2 years ago. I had, it was almost on my wrist. It wasn't an injury per se, it just came on. Yeah, and it's probably, you know, I don't know if I can call it chronic, or, but it's part of growing old, and it's part of what I do as well. So it's probably a combination of a lot of things, and normal, but I wouldn't say overdid it. What's the word? I can't find the word.
It's okay. I have repetitive stress. Like, my wrists will tell me when I'm doing something. And I also have, I think, is chronic back. But it did take me, like, one time when I pushed it too much, and then I ended up just laying on the ground. You know what I mean? And just like three times a day, just getting on my hardwood floor and just looking up at the ceiling, because it gets to be too much. It really is a writer's health or a creator's health is a true thing.
You wouldn't get these injuries, you know, or writers, but yes, that is real. It is injuries, writers, injuries too.
Yeah. So are you on that break right now?
Yes, I am not writing as much. I try to put in like 100 words. So Nano is not going to work for me.
No Nano for you, my friend. So are you dictating then?
Try, but so I have free software, okay, and they're frustrating because, you know, I have an accent. Okay. English is not my first language. Mm-hmm. And well, it's I grew up with English. I'm pretty good at English. Mm-hmm. You could say, but it doesn't recognize it. It frustrates me because I go back and I just erase everything that I just said because that's not what I said.
Yeah.
That's what it read. So, and they were telling me, a few of my friends were telling me about Dragon, but it's expensive. So I don't know. I'm still trying to work out and, trying to enunciate and just I'm trying to deal with it. So while I'm going through occupational therapy, so it's helping. So it's easing, and I have splints, brace, have a thumb brace, and I'm really taking it easy. I'm doing a lot of reading instead of writing. So I'm catching up with all my
Oh
advanced.
my gosh, that your totals at the end of this year is going to be enormous.
I know it's crazy because a lot of people are saying, I can't read,
And you're
it's
like, I'm reading.
so depressing. This is what I do. That's how I cope. If I don't read, if I lose my love of reading, I don't know
Yeah.
where I'm gonna
So,
be.
yes, yeah, so that was my next question. So, coping at this time, like besides, you not being able to write, just like in this weird time, besides reading, what else are you doing? Do you have any suggestions for folks and how to refill their well?
I actually, this is funny and sad at the same time. Log off social media.
Yeah.
It's a stressor. No, the weather is beautiful, so go out. I mean, wear your mask, go to the park. I go around the pond and walk around the pond in my apartment complex. And there are not a lot of people who are doing that. So, get some sun. No, the weather permitting, of course. But there's a place that, you could take in the sun, take in the water. Even in the middle of the city, I'm sure there's like some spot of green where you could go and take in, because the sun is life-giving. As we're also like plants. I always have that. So, do some exercise, even if it's just walking. And so I read while I walk.
You're actually holding on to a book. Oh my gosh.
I do. Even if it's audio or, but
Okay.
I read
I
on my phone while I walk.
No more injuries.
There's no trees in the pond, so I could fall off into the pond, though.
Oh my God. Well, we have reached the end of the podcast. It goes so fast.
Goodness.
I know. So Maida and I had conversation before I pressed record. I'm sure we'll keep talking, but before we log off, let us know where we can find you, Maida.
Oh, you can find me everywhere. So I have a website, mydamalby.com. I'm on Facebook. I have a page. It's Carpe Diem Chronicles by Maida Malby. And then I have Twitter, Maida Malby. On Instagram at Carpe Diem Chronicles, Pinterest, Amazon, wherever,
Well, thank
everywhere.
you so much, everyone, for coming to the Stories to Love podcast. And thank you, Maida, for coming. And we will see you once again. Thank you so much for joining me, Tiff Marcello, at the Stories to Love podcast. You can follow me through my newsletter at tiffmarcello.com and Instagram and Facebook, as well as Twitter under Tiff Marcello and Stories to Love podcast. You can support this podcast by picking up my most current book, Once Upon a Sunset. Thank you for joining me.